Okay. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 3 times more people than we need to know that the presence of Christ is with us when we're praying. Tonight we're going to look at one verse from 2 Corinthians. On Sunday evening we're starting a series in 2 Corinthians. And so tonight we're going to look at part of the first verse. And I'll read that to us. 2 Corinthians 1:1 says there, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, who are all in Achaia." So Paul here is using the familiar introduction, the familiar salutation form for letters that were written to and fro in those days. Paul and Timothy are the ones sending this letter, and they're sending it to Corinth. Corinth was a large city, but he's not sending it to the city. He's specifically sending it to the church of God at Corinth. So here's what I want you to take from tonight's devotional. God saves people and puts them into churches. Now, we live in a time when people don't see a need for church. They think they don't really need a church. Church is optional. Person may have the experience that they hear about Jesus Christ, and then they personally seek reconciliation with God through union to Jesus Christ, through his death, through his resurrection, and then they feel like they're good to go. They've been reconciled to God. Things are right with them and God, and now they can just go out, live life, them and God. Churches, being part of a church, a local congregation, or regularly attending the meetings of a congregation, it seems for some people like, well, it's just an option. It's a thing that's out there. Some people do it. Some people don't do it. Maybe I will be in church. Maybe I won't be in church. But in fact, it's not even only like this. These days, especially we're seeing it, people who study this kind of thing, they say that especially among the younger generation, some people have decisively left church. They once were part of church, but something hurt them. Maybe they were treated poorly in church. Something offended them. Maybe they saw some just terrible things, something egregiously hypocritical in the leaders or in the members, whatever. And so they haven't left Christ, they say, but they have left church. Well, here's what we see in this verse and in this letter. When God reconciles someone to himself, he puts them into church, a congregation. Converts join congregations. Paul here writes to the church of God. He writes to a church, a group of people in a local place, Corinth. And it's a group of people who have leaders who are named. Paul had told Timothy, establish leaders in the congregation, the elders, the deacons. Church is a group of people who meet. They get together and meet in their town, in a place. And Paul gives many directions about church meetings. 1 Corinthians 11, all of this about the supper when they got together. 1 Corinthians 14, all the things they do and that they shouldn't do when they're worshiping together. Church is also a group of people who not only meet together, who have leaders, but they're a group of people who serve together, who do good works as a cohesive team. And so much of this letter, 2 Corinthians, deals with the congregation's charitable efforts. We also see that church is a place where people mess up and where people work through the consequences together. This leader deals with a member sleeping with his stepmother and all the problems that arise with that. It's notable that Paul addresses this group of people, this group, as the local church in Corinth. And Paul designates them as the church of God. The church of God. God created church. The church belongs to God. God places people into church. And church is a messy, messy place at times. But all of that is in God's design. 1 Corinthians 12. Paul calls the people who are in the congregation, he calls them members. Here in verse 1, Paul calls them saints. And that word means holy ones, holy people, people who are holy. If you're a Christian, that means Christ has set you apart as his own. That's holy. You belong to him in a special way. And if you're a Christian, Christ is making you holy. He's doing the work. He's making you holy. Well, where is he doing that? Where is he making you holy? It's in God's church that he's making you holy. Church is the setting where these letters get read, get taught, get discussed. Church is the setting where saints are instructed. Church is the setting where saints get corrected, and that happens in this letter. Church is the setting where saints suffer together, and that's all through this letter. Church is the setting where saints sin against one another, and where saints forgive one another. It's all in church that that happens. Church is the setting where they serve together. It's where the saints also send and spread the gospel from out of their congregation. They send specific people. All of this is in church. And so if you are saved, you need to be in church, in God's church. Well, why? Well, here's another reason why. Church is the body of Christ, we're told. That's in 1 Corinthians 11. Do you want to be close to Jesus? Do you want to be close to Jesus Christ? Well, come to church, because we're told Christ is the head of the church. We're the parts. We're the body parts. We're the members of his body, where he's the head. That's how you get connected to Jesus. That's how you can be close to Jesus. Do you want a sense that Jesus loves you? Do you want a sense that I am loved by Jesus? Well, come to church, because church is the bride of Jesus. Church is the bride which Jesus loves, cleanses, and serves. All of this in church. So don't make the mistake of thinking of Christianity only in individualistic terms. Jesus does reconcile individuals, individual sinners to God, and he does make individuals into sons and daughters. But Jesus also saves an entire people, a congregation, a gathering. Ephesians 2, he says there, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Then jumping to verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Are you saved? If so, get into church, the place where God dwells. Amen.